Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 1989 was ground zero for the Ninja Turtles. That was their year.
And you could tell because the Transformers franchise collapsed.
Transformers never had that toy. You had to, like, strap your Ninja Turtle under a toilet that had slime flushed down the toilet. That actually happened. Look it up.
I remember a few years ago, they were selling in stores, like, the original molds for the Ninja Turtle toys. And I was like, I gotta get all of these. I'm gonna relive. And then, and, like, at a certain point, I'm like, wait a second. I'm not gonna use this. Like, this is garbage.
You mind if I kind of bring focus back to the game real quick?
If you have to.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. And add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Hey, what are you suggesting?
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Wow. Talking about The Curse of Monkey Island, which was nominated by Julesy through the slush pile. It was developed by LucasArts and published by LucasArts for, it says MS-DOS on the spreadsheet, but I guess because it was released in October 31st, 1997 in the United States, it might be Windows, right?
It is Windows, yeah.
Disk and manual says Windows 95.
I think it was Windows 95, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right, good. Glad I'm not losing my mind. So who's here with me to talk about The Curse of Monkey Island?
I'm the Great Clay.
I'm Tex Albale.
And hey, I'm Satanga.
Oh my god, oh!
He's alive!
I feel like I haven't been on in...
I keep forgetting that we gave you the keys, man.
Yeah, my fault.
Sometimes we show up to 24 HD 101 Towers, and it's just like, oh, you're there.
Yeah, I'm like Scruffy the janitor from Futurama. My employment status is questionable, but you'll always see me there no matter what.
So Tenga's gonna die as he lived. Reading that zero G jugs.
Thank you for the reference.
Love that. Well, thank you. I'm just the one who drove it into the dirt.
I'm on here for now because I volunteered to do this because I'm not normally huge into graphic adventure games, but the ones that LucasArts made are an exception.
I
consider them to be the zenith of quality in that regard, and they haven't really gotten much better since their output from the 90s, in my opinion. So,
and the Monkey Island games are especially good. And this game I remember most of all because I believe Gary Coleman repped it on Win Ben Stein's Money back in 1997.
He also voiced in this game.
Yeah. That's why he was repping it, I think. I don't think he was just doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
He's the Lemonade Kid, Sotenga.
Right. Shoot. Yeah, they got... Don't want to get ahead of myself. They got a lot of great voice talent in this game. You noted that Scrooge McDuck, Alan Young, is in it.
Oh, yeah. If you don't hear him, you might not be old. So, yeah.
Oh, laddie.
Oh, so good. So, Curse of Monkey Island. So, the main thing that I just learned about this game, which I never knew before because I don't look into these details, is that this is not a Ron Gilbert original. This is a post-Ron Gilbert Monkey Island game. Ron Gilbert is the Maniac Mansion guy, one of two, at least, and also the, the Monkey Island guy, but not this Monkey Island.
Yeah, it's a bit of a point of contention. Do we want to talk about what Monkey Island is before we really get into this?
Yeah.
Because usually you guys stop me when I start these things.
Well, as we said, this, did I say who, So did I say it came out in 97, right?
Yep.
So towards the end of 1997. So this is one of the later, LucasArts, scum games, right? Is it still a scum game or is it,
it's heavily edited scum if it is.
I think it is the final scum game, if I'm not mistaken. It's running on like, version 8, I want to say.
It's Sam and Max Scum. Is Sam and Max Scum?
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful, but if Sam and Max is scum, this is scum.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
It's scum, yeah.
That's one way of putting it.
Well,
So
they named it.
We just had
to. Which I have. We've done Maniac Mansion. We've talked about that. About the NES or Nintendo getting mad about the name Scum.
Yeah, I guess it's technically a swear word, but that's semantics. But
so it's an adventure game, point and click. You solve a cartoon plot with a guy with items in his ever increasing pockets to get to the end of a plot. Not a lot of action, although sometimes it can, and this game does have it points a little bit. But yeah, these kind of games rely pretty much on their story and their puzzles. Which this game is good at.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
The story here is that, I guess I should address this elephant in the room. Ron Gilbert, the original progenitor of the Monkey Island series, he wanted to really definitively end it with Monkey Island 2.
Oh yeah, Curse is 3. We should probably mention that.
Yeah, we should mention that.
Yeah, it's the third game in the series. Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, ended on a deliberately ambiguous and bizarre as hell note, to which making a sequel to that would be very baffling to try and do. So they kind of fudge it and deliberately make it so that you don't really know what happened. Guybrush is just mysteriously out in the middle of an ocean riding on a bumper car with balloons in it. Personally, I think that's actually a pretty funny angle. If they couldn't explain it, then they didn't want to explain it, and I appreciate that they were able to do the impossible and carry on a sequel to something that was basically unsequelable.
I am strongly against people who do works for, works for profit, basically, and you don't own it, don't try to end it. It just accepted that if you did a good job, somebody's going to carry on. And hey, if it's bad, then people will just look that much more highly upon your contributions. I really don't like that. I don't like the idea of like, I'm done with this, therefore it's done.
I mean, Ron Gilbert was kind of a big deal at LucasArts. Like,
yeah, but also like, he doesn't own it.
Well, so, I mean,
don't try to kill it off. Like, it just. I mean, with a game like Monkey Island, it really doesn't matter because the more ridiculous you can get, the better it is.
We'll get to that.
Anyway, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous game.
Oh, it's, God, yes.
It is, if you're a fan of not just point-and-click adventure games, but just like sprite art in general, this is about as good as it gets, so...
Yeah, it essentially looks like an animated film where you have the hand-drawn backgrounds and then the simpler but more fluent characters and the interactive objects in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the resolution was higher, this would pretty much look like an actual animated film.
Yeah, it reminds me very heavily of something either Disney or Don Bluth would do. It's like it's all very precisely hand-drawn, and this is the type of stuff that you are never going to see in games anymore. except maybe for like maybe the occasional indie game.
Well, yeah, you got your Cupheads and stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's not say never, right?
Yeah, Cuphead is pretty much a good comparison to how this game's actually animated.
I mean, this game would dream of having that many frames of animation as Cuphead.
Point,
but it does the best that it can, and it does like again, sprite work, sprite animation. I think with the animation, you've got to accept that it's limited for the period stuff. And it also doesn't look quite right. Like when you have like super high frame rate sprite art, it doesn't look right to me.
Yeah. So, and this game, the big.
Also, one thing I want just to throw in here is I want to compare this to Simon the Sorcerer 3D, which looks hideous and actually came out 5 years later. So this. Really, this actually, just from memory, I had to look it up. Just from memory, I thought some Sorcerer 3D maybe came out in like 98, 99, so late-ish N64 era. No, that's like 2002.
First off, that means there was adventure games coming out in 2002, and I don't think I believe
there were
you.
Because the whole
the genre was dead by then. Cat mustache, okay. LOL.
Okay, the thing with the adventure genre is the adventure genre is just declared dead about every 2 or 3 years, and then in the same article they say like, oh, but this game saved it. Because if you don't release a, like an adventure game every week, then like the genre is just it's just dying and coming back.
Well, let's be fair, the 90s were pretty much an adventure game every week. So,
well, yeah,
an
but
adventure
still have that
of prosperity like and brotherhood.
But so, anyway, so this game came out in an era where a lot of games were 3D, which meant like 4 polygons at best for every character.
97, so, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, this game has aged so much better than the majority of games from the era.
So what do we think about the story overall, I suppose? Because that's one of the halves of adventure games.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, it's like the story isn't great, but the game also doesn't encourage you to take the story all that seriously.
No, so let's talk about back of that. Step back a quick second. Well, because the ending of this game is just really, really, like they had to push the game out the door really quickly.
Yeah, I will have to admit, it's like you have... Like, the somewhat short, I guess, prelude... Well, I guess it's chapter one, but it's a relatively short self-contained puzzle. Then you get to explore a big island with a lot of places to get into. Then you go to the insult sword-fighting part on the high seas, which is the closest thing to action this game gets. We'll get to that later, Xerxes. Then you explore another big island, which is all dark and mysterious and whatnot. And then the final two chapters are very small puzzles that are indicative of the game's running out of budget at this point.
The game ended and I was like, oh wait, what, that's it, really?
Yeah, and the ending itself was like just it was I will admit I like this game a lot, but yeah, the ending is not its high mark, I suppose.
But that said, it's a hilarious game. I laughed out loud so many damn times for
it's
even some
funny,
of the dumbest puns that I can't remember.
You
there's know, one that caught me for like a minute.
What's good about this particular sense of humor, right? With this game, like with the Monkey Island games, they don't go crazy on the pop culture references. So
no.
You're not subjected to like 20 minutes solid Austin Powers impressions.
Which was certainly among its contemporaries pretty unique, not being super pop culture heavy.
Yeah, which makes it a lot easier to swallow. Hey, did Steve, what's this, who's the Sam and Max guy? Steve
Purcell. Purcell.
Steve,
yes,
Steve Purcell, yeah.
He did a lot of the art.
Yeah, and it's very good. I just wanted to point that out. That's all.
What was I going to say? You just put that right in the middle and I lost my entire train of thought. Like good. A penny on a railroad track.
That's what I do.
Jesus Christ.
We were talking about the humor and the references,
the humor
and you mentioned
references.
That there weren't too many.
Yeah, LucasArts even in particular, like Day of the Tentacle and Sam and Max even really kind of rely a lot on their pop culture references in a sense too. Like a lot of Sam and Max you have to be kind of familiar with, like Americana, especially of the 90s. Day of the Tentacle, definitely history of America, relies a lot of that and sort of the similarities. But no, Monkey Island 3 really does kind of get away not pulling a lot of references, except Monkey Island always had a weird obsession with, like, Lucasfilm references. Like, they have a bit where they reference Raider of the Lost Ark, where he shoots the guy.
Yep. I will say that this game does have a pretty overt reference to the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, same scene, actually.
Really out of left field, but I found it oddly amusing, even though it's a grim time in America's history.
Laugh a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. This is post, like, that whole Seinfeld episode, right? So, like, I believe there was a second spitter, you know, that whole thing.
Back so, and to the left.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, I mean, a lot of times, like, especially in the 90s, of course, like, your JFK assassination jokes were very much about, like, the Oliver Stone film.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's hard to say. I mean, if they're in bad taste, that film was in bad taste.
But Monkey Island's humor is more of puns and cartoon slapstick nonsense.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some funny
visual, like, gags.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, like, wry humor.
Yeah,
it's not, like, it's amazing because I didn't realize Ron Gilbert wasn't involved, which tells you they did a pretty good job with, like, mimicking his style.
Yeah, having just recently played it and having just recently also played Secret recently, I don't know if this game doesn't get as wry as the first one. Because the first one, the whole, like, running joke about it is Guybrush Threepwood is a terrible, terrible pirate. And everyone kind of, and the joke gets kind of run into the ground and kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, there's a part where you get a ship and then your crew mutinies. And it's funny in the first game because everyone's just kind of barely taking Guybrush seriously and he pays them. In this game, it's like, well, they kind of did it because it's a Monkey Island game and they just got to get rid of his crew somehow. It's like, yeah, it's the third Monkey Island game, I guess. Also, well, I'm just kind of thinking about it. Stan is in this game, and if you haven't played Monkey Island, first off, go play Monkey Island.
But, play the first one.
Stan is a used boat salesman originally, so he's a used car salesman with his flailing arms and his bombastic way of speaking. And he comes back in this game. Oh, the other really important thing about him too is his jacket is something about animation. I realized I just kind of dove head right into this and I don't quite get the joke on that thing. His weird jacket background thing.
I didn't get it either.
Well, because it's like an animation pattern. Because, like, his suit, the color of his suit doesn't follow him. Like, when he moves his arm, it looks like a cutout on the background of the screen.
Yeah. I forget the exact terminology for it as well, but I'm surprised they actually keep that effect in the well-drawn game as this is.
Yeah, is it a joke, or is it just them, like, doing, like, what the Flintstones would do? Because it's like, seriously, like, how much time do you think we have? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if they should have brought him back. There's a lot of, like, I think that's maybe my biggest problem with Monkey Island 3 was, should they really have brought this thing back?
Why not?
I mean,
like, insult sword fighting.
Well, for God's sake.
That part, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think that was that amusing to begin with. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I understand. But, like, I don't see why not. Like, most of the game is good. It's fine.
Yeah. And they're really actually full props to this game. There aren't really many terrible puzzles.
There are only two that really stumped me in this one. The one involving the gum and the gold tooth.
Oh, that one made... Once I figured out what to do, that one kind of made sense. Although it has the old adventure game problem of hotspots.
Yeah, that too. The other one that baffled me was trying to figure out how to get into the family mausoleum. That one was really roundabout.
You die.
But yeah,
Okay.
Yeah, you have to die, but you have to die again.
You have to prove that you're of a lineage first, in a way that doesn't really make any sense, but oh well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a leap. It's like, oh, no, I totally am, because... And he, like, clearly opens the damn book in front of him.
Yeah.
That's a
But other than that, I thought this game was actually relatively fair for its puzzles. And I played on the full difficulty.
Oh, you did?
Because... this is a game that offers you, like, a lesser difficulty, but, like, you don't get as much stuff. And then full difficulty with more
Mega Monkey
puzzles. Mega Monkey, that's the one. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, you should play with it. Like, why play an adventure game for not getting out the puzzles?
Well, so I played reviewer mode, essentially, because of the... I think Monkey Island 2 even calls it out. It's like, reviewer mode for when you're on a deadline.
Yeah.
Because I've had this game for a little while, and then all of a sudden I noticed the other day we're doing Curse of Monkey Island. So I'm like,
You meant to say is you were intimately familiar with this game in every aspect.
Yes, that too. So yeah, it's a neat game. It doesn't quite transcend all of adventure game problems. Like I said, I had some problems with hotspots. I got stuck the first time I played this game because I didn't realize there's a bunch of doors in the game that don't go anywhere, but one door that does, and it looks like all the other doors. and I completely missed it, so I was, like, stuck for a month.
That's what makes it a hidden door.
It is.
What?
Be careful!
Okay, so how about this? Like, before we rank it, everybody give their favorite puzzle and their favorite joke.
Oh, that's a good one.
And an easy one.
Go ahead, Sotenga.
Favorite puzzle.
It's an easy one. Please help me out here.
And don't rush us like this.
My answer for both is anything involving Murray the Talking Skull.
He's pretty great.
Yeah, now Murray is one of he's so good that he even showed up in Tales of Monkey Island, the later Telltale revival of the series, which I actually thought was quite good myself.
Which is not bad. That's right.
Yeah. He's voiced by, I think the guy's name is Denny Delk, who's a veteran voice actor of several LucasArts titles. I'm trying to remember what else he did, but the part where Murray just drops in yelling "die" and then he just ineffectually bounces off the ground. I don't know, just something oddly entertaining about everything Murray does.
It is true.
Yeah. Okay. So, Murray wins everything. He boosts this game at least one letter grade by existing.
Okay, I thought of my favorite puzzle is when you have to do the Scottish tree toss thing with Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, the caber toss.
The caber toss, yep. And you put a rubber tree down. That's a really neat, fun puzzle. My favorite joke is Manny Calavera in the restaurant. And I can't think of his damn name right now. Seepgood. He plays that character.
Yeah. Wasn't it the pirate Cobb, the guy who was from Loom?
Oh, is that not the...
about Loom?
No, it was Mancombe Seepgood was the guy who was asked me about Loom.
Oh, no, that was a different character. Cobb, who was a character from Loom, then was transplanted into Secret Monkey Island with the Ask Me About Loom gag.
Okay,
and then
I'm sorry.
Manny has an Ask Me About Grim Fandango thingy.
But that whole sequence is great. Oh my god, one of LeChuck's undead gang! Yes, I had to kill him! Yes, we should let the undead walk around! No, he called my chicken dry.
Also, I should mention my favorite puzzle that I just remembered actually leads into the Kennedy, the JFK bit, where that one guy, Edward Van Helgen, I believe, is just like rocking out in the mandolin, so then you just shoot it. And then he says, "You are a pirate after all, because you were a dirty cheater."
Well, yeah, that's the Raiders of the Lost Ark, because he goes nuts on the banjo.
Yeah.
He just, boom!
I like a lot of the earlier puzzles. Maybe it's because, at the feeling, the developers put a little bit more effort into them, because they were under less pressure. I like the anti-magical cannonball. I don't know, I just thought it was funny. And I did like the insult sword fighting. Not really as a joke in this game, but because that reminded me of playing the original Monkey Island, which I did play it in German for a bit, then dropped because it wasn't my copy at the time. I played the English version later, because at the time my English wasn't what it is today, so I had to look up a ton of stuff. So I was sitting there reading, like, I'm rubber and you are glue. What does that mean? And I had to look up every single one of these insults because none of them made sense to me. So I wasn't able to go out, okay, which of these is actually a proper insult? So I had to vastly expand my swearing pool, or my pool of English swear words or mild insults to get through this game. Great experience, great memories.
I do have to give this game insult sword fighting, especially because the last boss where you have, he like gives you a whole different bunch of insults that you have to use your new insult pool with. It felt a lot smarter this time around. Like, it didn't feel like I was kind of grasping at straws. I'm like, well, which one do you want me to use with this one? Because the rhyming thing helped. Also, Wally is great in this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something I actually mentioned to you. The voice of Wally, Neil Ross, he was also Colonel Vulgan in Metal Gear Solid 3. The same guy somehow. I don't know how you have that range like that. It baffles me. But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that little gag. Although we're not talking about MGS3 now, so
no, we're not.
Xerxes sounds defeated.
My favorite joke is I remember Haggis McMuffin, but it's McMutton, right? Haggis McMutton,
something like that. Yeah.
Well, Haggis is my only true nickname. My true name is Heart, Lungs, and Liver Boiled in the Stomach of the Animal.
Oh, McMutton. Yes.
Oh, but your parents were expecting a girl. Aye.
And I love all the little dumb bits. It's one of my favorite adventure game tropes where the game gives you, like, a list of things to say, and no matter what you say, like, literally one line that's the complete opposite. Like, there's a game where you threaten, like, a big pirate captain, and, like, he gives you something, and you have all these different ways to threaten him back, and no matter which one you click, he goes, yes, sir, let's do that.
All right, let's rank this, one.
All right.
So, adventure games.
Well, we have Sam and Max somewhere on this list. 165. I think this game is better than Sam and Max.
Ooh, shots fired. Please explain.
I'm not a big Sam and Max fan more than anything. I think the game gets kind of meandery and wandery. One of the best things that Monkey Island does, I think, is separate out the game a lot better. You have two big main hubs and then a beginning and an ending part. And I think that kind of helps the game flow and it makes the story kind of work better. Sam and Max I didn't like because it just kind of felt like one long story that you had to solve puzzles to get little bits of. Whereas this game, like, it breaks up the story once in a while and you feel like you're moving through something as the game goes on. Also, I don't like a lot of Sam and Max's puzzles.
Yeah, I like this one here better than Sam and Max because it doesn't require you to be American to get the entire game.
Oh, that would also help.
How dare you, sir? That is a very astute observation, but I find it so funny. I like Sam and Max.
Well, you were asking for our perspective.
That's a good point. I do. Your perspective is valid.
I would say Sam and Max is probably my second favorite LucasArts game personally. Curse of Monkey Island is like my third favorite, but I would be willing to rank it above Sam and Max because I recognize its appeal isn't as universal. Monkey Island being designed as a completely original LucasArts property is able to, I think, be more adaptable by doing its own thing, whereas Sam and Max was not originally something they made, so, you know, its humor doesn't tend to be as inclusive as a result.
That's an excellent point.
Also, very little Max in this game for a post-Sam and Max LucasArts game. And there's a bunch of rabbits all Max, over the place, too.
I mean, this is like, they put, like, Max in Shadows of the Empire, for the love of God.
He's in Outlaws.
He's in everything.
That is a little bit of
He is an unofficial mascot. And by the way, I happen to know for a fact that followed all the former LucasArts employees to Telltale. So now they're the former LucasArts and Telltale employees. But they use Sam a lot in the they use Max a lot in like their proto stuff. So like some of the Wolf Among Us things, like they're like combat, like not really combat, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
The QTE kind of mini game type things. They originally had Max, the Lagomorph, as the antagonist. Yeah. They didn't own that, so they couldn't really do it, but it was an in joke. And now it is preserved for history on the Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast. I think that this game is like, honestly, I still want to put it below Sam and Max, but I guess I'm outvoted.
Well, I would actually vote with you, but I don't want to deadlock it at the same time. So
you could, I mean, we're not even at 30 minutes yet.
I guess you could. Deadlock.
Let's do it.
All right.
Deadlock.
Why?
So I'm going to keep pushing it down a little bit. I really like this game. I don't dislike it. And I think that even
Wait a minute. But the game immediately below Sam and Max is Blue Singer.
So it's got to go below that. Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
I'm okay.
You're not feeding dogs power this day.
Oh, yeah. So, like, look, I mean, Ranger X, Ikaruga. Power Stone, Great God games. Hand, Jet Set Radio, Saturday Night Slam Masters. I mean,
I can't believe these games are this far down. I love all of them.
Well, they're not.
Above 200 isn't far down. That used to be far down, but
yeah,
used to be. Yeah,
that's above the halfway point.
I mean, BioShock is 185. You know what I mean? Like, Yakuza is at 181. I mean, it's a big. The first 200 games are very, very good.
I don't let you put this below Secret of Mana. That's where I stop you.
Oh,
fair.
Yeah, this does not go
below Secret BioShock.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, the one Secret of Mana is just 100 spots too high.
Yeah.
Oh, come. All right. Yeah, just about enough of this. Yeah, let's not go nuts here. Thank you.
Whoa. What's Fexanad doing at 160?
Look, I think your guess is as good as mine, but that's fine.
I think we had this exact same conversation like four times already.
Every time we're in this area of the list, I'm like, why is that so high?
I just keep being surprised by this. Why?
Every time I play the thing for the YouTube channel, and I'm like, wait, it's where?
I did my best, but that's how science works.
But wow. This game.
I can't believe I argued binary domain to be this high. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Secret of Mana is my floor.
All right. Okay, so let's put it. We got to put it above. You put it above BioShock. I don't even know about that.
Yeah, no, I think this should go above Fexanadu.
I would put BioShock
Curse
2
above Monkey BioShock. Island and BioShock. Look, I'm just saying. Like, I know BioShock's not like 100% crafted from pure originalium, but it's still a pretty big deal. And Curse of Monkey Island is like the third Monkey Island game.
Well, this is the this game is BioShock the third one if you count System Shock 1 and 2.
Fifth if you count Ultima Underworld.
Okay. If this is acceptable on any podcast, it's a 12th game, it's acceptable on this one. So I'll let it stand. All right. So can we put it above Tyrion 2000?
I do like Tyrion, right below BioShock. This is a more classic game.
Well, yeah, that Tyrion 2000. Well, cool. That means below Secret of Mana and below Fexanadu.
Fexanadu is like.
We gotta
deal with it's an aberration. You know, like all data sets have aberrations in them, right?
Yeah, okay, that's an outlier. I accept that.
If I get to put everything above Fexanadu, this list is gonna get real nuts.
Fexanadu is not. I just want to put it on the record. Not a bad game. It's not even a
I'm not saying
NES game, but it's up super duper high.
That is true.
It's above Lunar, which is ridiculous.
Only so much I can do. Well, that is acceptable, but the being above God Hand is not acceptable. But I accept it. So,
yeah.
All right. Above Tyrion 2000, below BioShock, that seems to be the consensus.
Wait, no. What consensus was this?
The consensus was we've been recording this for a good 31 minutes now.
But who decided that we want to deadlock this deliberately this
time?
No, deadlock.
It's
like the word.
We were almost going to put this like 20 spots higher, and you're like, well, we need to run up more time.
No, shut up. I didn't say that.
I know you can edit this out.
All been edited out.
What the... What science are we wreaking here anyway?
What hath God wrought? All right, let's...
God doesn't exist anymore.
Right above Secret of Mana. Let's just agree to disagree.
Yep, I support that. Now we have a different deadlock.
Okay.
Oh, all right. It's not deadlock anymore. So that's where it goes. So that's 3-1. Fine. It goes below Star Fox, above Secret of Mana, Curse of Monkey Island, the third Monkey Island game, not made by the creator of Monkey Island, is now in the top 200. It is still very good.
It's an excellent game, really. It shouldn't have worked, and it's still really good.
Yeah, like, canonically, this is garbage. Like, he was set adrift in a bumper car. You can't come back from that. And
it's better than 4.
All of the other ones are better than Escape from Monkey Island.
Escape from Monkey Island, not that great.
We would rank that one lower if we were to.
Yeah.
Right below.
And this one has Gary Coleman in it, right?
Yeah, like I said, he's the lemonade and the guy who sells the kid who sells the cannons.
There you go. That's where it goes. Thanks, everybody. We will wrap at you next time. So long, suckers. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.